36 says, Lord.
And as I recall, in the fall of that year, you must have been quite apprehensive concerning a raid on your house. Did this ever occur?
Well, yes, there was one raid at the end of October. And Ernie wasn't in the house that night. He had gone down the country on some business. And they searched the house, but with evidently no idea that there was a secret room there, because they just passed that particular cupboard without paying the slightest attention to it. And they found nothing, because Madge, with her usual efficiency, had put all papers of Ernie's away. There must have been a typewriter there, but I suppose they didn't suspect that. And nothing happened. And that gave us a very bad false feeling of security then, that they wouldn't come again, perhaps, or even if they did, the secret room wouldn't be found.
Did anything happen again then?
Then on the following Saturday, I think it was only a week after, at about 8 o'clock, and quarter past seven or so in the morning, I heard a rather gentle knocking at the front door, and I jumped up, because my room was right over the front door, and looked out and saw only three civilians, CID men, and at least two of them had revolvers, and they knocked gently. Well, now the maid was up, but she didn't, I think, answer immediately. I had time anyhow to rush down to Ernie's, where Ernie was, and wake him up, he was fast asleep, and tell him that there were three CID men at the door, but that I thought that that was all, because I saw no sign of lorries or soldiers or cars or anything else, and that he'd probably, they wouldn't find the room that would be safe enough. But I rushed back then again, of course, so that I wouldn't be near that part of the house when they came up. So they searched, they came straight up. Straight search, no room downstairs, they came straight upstairs and straight to the cupboard, to the secret room. And I followed them down, and it was made as a wardrobe outside, and there were shoes and coats and everything hanging, you see. And they brushed those aside, and they tried to push in the back, but it held, and they stopped and had a conversation, and I thought everything was safe, but they turned back again, and they pushed again, and this time it must have moved, because they rushed out to the, I can't remember now whether they rushed to the windows or whether they went downstairs and out, but anyhow they gave three or four shrill whistles, and with that suddenly the place was alive with soldiers and more CID men, as far as I can remember the men, and they rushed in, the front door was open, rushed in and upstairs, and rushed down to the secret room, and then it was the CID men took the rifles, as far as I remember, from the soldiers, and started battering in the door, the back of the cupboard, and that lasted for, well, it seemed like hours, but it can't have been that length of time. And then suddenly there was a crash, one of the panels gave, And with that, there was a sound of a shot being fired. And they, all the soldiers, I know many of them were there, just turned and fled and threw themselves down the stairs. They didn't run. They just went headlong down the stairs. And one of them actually rolled round, and there was a curve in the stairs, and he rolled round the down to the bottom of the stairs, leaving revolvers and rifles and everything on the landing. Then there was a dead pause, silence, and Ernie came out towards me. And I saw from him that something awful had happened. He was all right, but he said Anna was shot. That was my aunt. In the firing, whatever happened, she had looked out of her door and she was very badly shot. Ernie's only wish now was to get out of the house, he said, as fast as he could, not bring any more trouble on us. And he went to the... There was a pause for a while. He was standing up there. He took up one of the rifles that the soldiers had let drop. And there was... Suddenly, there was a cry from... Shout from down below, saying, I remember where, you up there, surrender in the name of the state. And with that, Ernie shouted out, never, no surrender here, and rushed down into what I thought was certain death, because they had, by this time, they had recovered their bit of courage, and they were all in a bunch down below, with the rifles turned on the stairs, waiting for whoever would come down to shoot them to bits. And because of this extraordinary cry he gave, it was like something what you read about, Cuchulainn's frenzy, no, no surrender here, and at the same time rush down. And he must have, I suppose, must have fired a shot. And I suppose they fired too, and rushed out of the house. And when I looked down, thinking that I'd see Ernie lying dead down below, he was standing alone in the middle of the hall and not a sign of one of the enemy. They'd all fled. We heard afterwards, of course, that one of them, the CID man, hid behind the front door, which was open, and heard all that happened from that on, of the conversation between Ernie and myself and anybody else there. He was hiding there about an hour, I suppose. And another had fled into my brother's room and hidden under the bed. But for a time being, we thought there was nobody at all in the house. They were all outside. So Ernie decided then that he'd just have to make a run for it, out the back. So he left the rifle, he said, to be too heavy to carry going over the wall, and he took his own parabellum and went out. First we looked out to see were there any soldiers that we could see watching the house, covering the house. And there were two crouching down outside the drawing room window, with their rifles trained on the back door, ready to get anybody that would go out that way. And of course in the front they'd have them anyhow, because they were out in the road. So he got ready and he rushed out, wheeled to the left where the two were crouching down with their rifles trained on him. But again he shouted to them, run! Not surrender anything, but just run. And they ran. He didn't want to shoot. He didn't want to kill anybody if he could get away without killing anyone. So then I went to the front door to see them running. And I thought by this time that he had got away down the... He was lying just inside the door, terribly badly wounded, with I don't know how many bullets in his back. And, but again, nobody, none of the soldiers came into the house for quite a while. They didn't know whether he was still waiting. So they didn't come back until my mother phoned for the priest and the ambulance. And then when the ambulances came and the priest came, and they knew that there was some, nobody else, I think, nobody there to shoot them, they came back. They came into him, and it was then that Ernie, they came, stood all around him, and to give him their due, they seemed worried when he was so badly, and he, not thinking of himself at all, he said to them, "Oh, don't worry," he said, "you're soldiers and I'm soldiers," and he shook hands with them, which they were astounded and quite reluctant to do. They didn't know what he meant, but he had no rancor or no ill will towards them at all.
What, were there ever any incidents which you know where he might have expressed his attitude toward taking life?
Well, of course, I suppose the chief one was the one that I saw myself, where he could have shot those two and the two soldiers that were crouching waiting to shoot him. And he said himself, he said, "I don't want to," because I had suggested that perhaps he could get them from another window in the house. And he said, "Oh no, I don't want to shoot. I only want to escape. I don't want to kill anybody." Which was...
Yeah. This one strikes me. What was he like under fire?
Oh, very cool. That's what I say. It's extraordinarily cool. And what, of course, what I could never get over was the determination. He had the determination that time at the top of the stairs to get out and to succeed, where they were, I suppose, about six down below, at least six or seven, trained, waiting for him to appear. But that one shout of "no surrender here" and rushing down the stairs, it was some extraordinary courage or something that got them to the suddenness of the quickness of it. They fled without, I don't know whether they fired or not, of course.
Was he jumpy in the normal course of events? It was a particularly jumpy time to be around.
It was. No, I'd say he was very, very cool. Very cool. If he was ever, of course, every man says that there's no such thing as that everyone has a certain amount of fear, and that if you haven't, you're not even a good soldier. But he certainly suppressed it.
Did you like him?
Well, the same way as we liked everybody who was fighting for freedom at that time. To us, they were all Robert Emmetson, Wolfe Tones, and heroes.
The what would his reputation have been to someone who might not have known of him? Were there any popular images of an Ernie O'Malley type fighting for freedom for those people who would not have known him individually?
Well, I think his image was a fighter. because we all knew what he had done in the black and tan time and the barracks that had been captured under his command. He was really one of the most outstanding fighters.
How did you hear of these events?
How did we hear of them? We knew everything that was going on. We were steeped in the lore and the tradition and the fighting of all the ambushes. We knew Sean Tracy and Dan Breen and Hogan and Ernie O'Malley and Liam Lynch, and they were all our names, like the
As a matter
litany.
Of interest, Tracy now was
yes.
a great freedom, a great fighter
yes.
as well.
Yes.
How would you compare him with O'Malley as a person?
Well, of course, I never knew him, but I knew all about his fight with Dan Breen up in the house that Carolyn was shot. And that was just something like a fairy tale, how those two men got away that night. Because that house was completely surrounded, and as far as I can see, they were alone in the room, and they had, I don't know how many of the British Army firing at them, and they escaped. Those two men were real, real, real heroes.
O'Malley's reputation mustn't have helped the Free State soldiers outside. They would have known.
That's very true. That's probably it, you know. That they must have been, and they were all youngsters and had never probably been in a fight before. I suppose that would explain their rushing out of the house the minute he fired one shot.
Do you have any particular remembrances of Ernie O'Malley in Mountjoy?
I do, indeed.